I believe with all my heart, Faith Baptist Church desperately needs the touch of the Lord. By the life God's people are living and the worldliness, the lowering of standards, it's pretty obvious we're not where the Lord wants us to be. Let's take our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. In connection with those thoughts and those things I just said, I wanted very badly for us to observe the Lord's Supper tonight. I had it all planned and laid out in my mind. I love it when we have opportunity to observe ordinances both on the same day. But the Lord just kept shutting the door. We're not in a condition for observing the Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter 28, we read what is called the Great Commission, or what I call and most Baptists call the Church's Commission. Verse number 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This passage of Scripture could easily deliver a series of messages to us. I want to preach on the big three. The big three. And in this passage of Scripture, you see the biggest of the big three. You see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It won't get any bigger than that. You also see in this passage of Scripture the big three in we're called to preach, we're called to baptize, we're called to disciple. Those are the three steps of the commission. It's not the commission given to us to get folks saved. A lot of people think that's what we're called to do. It's not our call to get people saved. It's not in our ability to get people saved. That's God's business. Our task is preaching, baptizing those that are saved and make professions of faith in Jesus Christ, and discipling them once they're baptized. Certainly central to this passage of Scripture is the subject of baptism. And that's the focus of our message, the big three reasons for why we baptize. Three reasons why we baptize. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 1, we'll read down to verse number 7. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. First reason we baptize is to show forth the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is to picture, to illustrate by example, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in baptism, we are expressing the fact that we have died unto sin, and sin no longer can have dominion over us, should have not dominion over us. In baptism, when we go into those waters, we're picturing a burial, the burial of Jesus Christ. And we are declaring that the old man is buried. And when we come up out of those waters of baptism, we're picturing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're picturing how we have been raised to walk in newness of life. There is no saving merit, no saving grace in either of the ordinances that we hold to as a church. We do not baptize a single person, nor could we baptize a single person to bring about salvation. As the illustration we used a moment ago, when the eunuch said, "What hinders me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be baptized." But baptism must follow regeneration. Baptism must follow the new birth. Baptism must follow one's salvation, because baptism does not bring about salvation. It pictures what the hope is of our salvation in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in relationship to the Lord's Supper, where we've spent a couple weeks, spoke of, as long as you observe this ordinance, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. That passage of Scripture can equally be applied to the ordinance of baptism. In baptism, as long as we observe the ordinance of baptism, we do show the Lord's death. That's the purpose of both of the ordinances. To picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ by baptism, to picture his suffering and his death, his shed blood for our sins in the observance of the Lord's Supper. Baptism declares we're dead to sin, we're raised to walk in newness of life. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Then came Jesus from Galilee unto John the Baptist. Came all that distance to be baptized of the only one with authority to baptize. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And Jesus came to this John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Second reason we baptize is found in the words of Jesus Christ in verse number 15. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. We baptize and we should submit to scriptural baptism when the Lord saves us to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill the doing of all right, of all that is expected, all that is pleasing to the Lord. He said, Suffer it so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And following his baptism and his coming up out of the water, God sent the Holy Spirit, and God spoke audibly. This is my beloved Son. Okay, what about your beloved Son? What do you want to tell us? This is my beloved Son, who has come to John to fulfill all righteousness. And he obviously fulfilled all righteousness because God the Father said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So he did fulfill all righteousness. As we looked at the last three Sunday mornings from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said, I must suffer. I must be rejected. I must die. I must raise again. I must do all these things. It is appointed unto me to do all these things. And it was a part of his fulfilling all righteousness to do all those things. Likewise, when it came to his being baptized by a man, John the Baptist, it was to fulfill all righteousness. There were some things that Christ had to do, must do, expected to do. Being baptized is one of those things. And there are some things that God expects us to do in our salvation. Once he saved us and brought us to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some things he expects of us. And the very first thing I believe he expects of a person when they're saved is baptism, to fulfill all righteousness, following the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I appreciate Brother Steve's submission to baptism. I can't search his mind. I can't tell you whether or not he really totally, fully understands why we required it. He could tell you whether or not, if he fully understands, if it makes sense to him. But I like the fact he was willing to submit. He wanted to fulfill all righteousness. I remember having a little old lady come to West Milton. And she was baptized at, I forget what kind of church it was. It was called Brush Creek. It wasn't a Baptist church. Her name was Vernus Tussey. We called her Sister Smiley. She was always smiling. And I can remember visiting her, and Brother Bill Tankersley was the man who always went with me, and trying to explain to her that if she wanted to be a member of West Milton Baptist Church, she'd have to be baptized. I can remember to this day, she goes, I don't understand it, but if you say I need to be, I need to be. She was willing. She was willing. I can remember a lady who was in her 80s wanting to be a church member. For years and years and years, she always said she was a member, but she never was. So the Lord finally dealt on her. It came down to the fact she didn't have scriptural baptism. I think she was 85 years old at the time. And the baptism required climbing up, I think it was like seven steps, pretty steep. And once you got to the top, you had to climb down another 7 steps to get into the water. And I remember her telling me, when I told her, I'm really concerned with your getting in and out of the baptistry. I told her what options we could, you know, get another tank of water, a feeding trough or something, and get it full of heated water and baptize her in a more convenient way. She said, no, I want to be baptized just like everyone else. And God gave her grace to be willing to be baptized at that ripe old age that she was at. And God gave her grace to get through it. There's a verse that says something about is accepted of God or other. First of all, there's a willing mind or something to that effect. When the Lord saves us, we ought not to fuss. We ought not to fight against the ordinances. It ought not to be an issue. The Bible says we need to be baptized. We ought to want to be baptized. That's a sign of a true believer. That's why I come back to that question I asked you a little while ago. What hinders you from being baptized? I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I don't need to embarrass anybody because I know most of those who are here who don't have baptism. I know most of you who've never made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. That's why I ask you, what hinders you? There's something wrong. If somebody thinks they're okay, if they think they're saved, if they think they're right with God, who doesn't want to be baptized? We baptize to picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to profess our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and our identification with the sacrifice that Jesus Christ paid, and we baptize to fulfill all righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 3. I find this to be a most complicated passage of Scripture. It's taken me many years to come to grips with what is actually being said here. And we can't even begin to enter in to explaining what it is we believe about this passage of Scripture. It says in verse number 21 of 1 Peter 3, the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. People stop there. See, the Bible says baptism saves. That's not what it says. You got to read on. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who's gone into heaven and is in the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Baptism saves us from a guilty conscience. Baptism saves us, delivers us to having a clear conscience. And this passage of Scripture talks about the days of Noah, people who had died unbelieving in the days of Noah, who were in prison at this particular time, and it speaks about another time when, through the Holy Spirit, God had Noah preach in the days of the flood while they were waiting for the ark to be finished. It speaks about baptism now saving us and that salvation having to do with our having a good conscience toward God. In understanding this passage of Scripture, I am brought to understand that the suffering of Christ, the death of Christ upon the cross, was called a baptism. It's recorded in Scripture. He says, I have a baptism that nobody else can partake of, and it had to do with his suffering. And Jesus Christ was baptized in judgment, baptized by fire, if you would, when he died upon the cross. And he was able to do so with a good, clear conscience, because all those musts that he spoke of in Luke chapter 9, because he fulfilled all righteousness, and because he was dying upon the cross according to the will of God. But because Ephesians 4 tells us in verse number 5, we believe in one baptism, one kind of baptism, that's water baptism. As Christ was baptized in suffering and baptized in judgment and was able to have a clear conscience before God, in the like figure, we're baptized in the water, and we're baptized in order to have a clear conscience, as Christ was baptized with what he went through there upon the cross. So we baptize to picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everybody here, just about everybody, there's one or two that weren't here this morning, but just about everybody here saw the gospel preached this morning. You saw the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ pictured. And you saw an individual profess his faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for their sins. But all that does you no good if you don't see it for yourself. If you don't believe with faith, receiving Jesus Christ dying, buried, and rising again for you. That's why we baptize. That's why we observe the Lord's Supper, to show the Lord's death. And we're charged with showing the Lord's death till he comes. And every time we baptize, we're preaching. We're lifting up the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's just so easy to see. You have somebody laid in the water, picturing being placed in the earth, being buried. You see them coming forth in hopes of the resurrection and in assurance of the resurrection that Jesus Christ was the first fruits of. And the only thing that hinders you from being baptized is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's why we baptize. When you do something, people are going to automatically bring to the conclusion, well, it has to do with being saved. It has to do with securing salvation or washing away sins or somehow sealing their salvation. No, it doesn't. It's just about picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's about our fulfilling all righteousness, our doing all the right that is required of God. And it's about having a clear conscience as Christ had a clear conscience. He went to the cross and hadn't done a single thing worthy of that death. But to save us from our sins, he allowed our sins to be placed upon him. His conscience was clear. He had fulfilled all righteousness. He had done everything required of the Father. Jesus Christ died not for his sins, but for our sins. We are baptized to fulfill all righteousness. We're baptized to have a clear conscience. And in closing, maybe 2 minutes, there's 4 requirements for scriptural baptism. A Baptist ought to know those like the back of their hands. It ought to be second nature. When someone asks you, why do you baptize? It ought to be second nature with your being able to answer them. And when it comes to telling them what scriptural baptism is, you ought to be able to rattle off real quick the 4 requirements for scriptural baptism. Baptism requires the right candidate, the right authority, the right mode or immersion, and the right purpose. Right baptism requires those 4 right things. And that's what Baptists have paid the dearest for over the course of their history. Baptists have died by literally the millions, if you study out the books that are written on the martyrs that died for Christ. They have died for the millions based upon their belief on baptism. They're requiring scriptural baptism. They're requiring rebaptism of those who had baptism from a false church. Let's stand together, have a verse of song.